around the country as the person who actually controls gold. And I believe it was the third week of June that he bought a number of gold futures, and the money people of Congress, the Congressional Committee that's headed up by the Texan, is a little upset because they think he's trying to corner gold again, which he's been doing for years. So I'm really pleased with the state of events, and with I have it on fairly good authority that I should be out tomorrow or Tuesday, but we'll see. They're dragging their feet, so let them do it. I'm really pleased. They're upset at me because I gave Rick the members of the committee, and feel free to put that information out any way you want to or however you want to. And I think we should all pay particular attention to A7, A10, A13, and A14, because those particular four people are heads of state, and you will see the connection between them being the heads of state. For example, A10 is the president of Peru. He was instrumental in getting the committee to purchase the Brazilian national debt. And you will see the connection between those four heads of state and the committee. So many things are going to happen all over the globe.
Well, Ron, let's do this a little differently.
All right.
You're going to have those names splattered all over. Why don't you share the names with us? See, we're going to talk about Luxembourg. We're going to talk about Spain and obviously Peru.
Is Walt Rostow.
And if any of you don't know who Walt Rostow is, I am going to cut off your water and make you go back to book one.
Okay. Well, however you want to do it.
You see how handy he listens better than the rest of you.
I just want to get their names out. I want everybody
all
to
right,
know
let's
who
just,
they are.
Okay, run down the list and...
All right, A2 now is listed as Admiral Byrd. In our plane of reference, it is Stephen M. Wolfe. He is the CEO of United Airlines, and he has been in and around the airline industry for many years. Next, we will go to A3, and it shows as Henry Ford. In our plane of reference, the gentleman's name is William T. Jones. He is CEO of National Energy Group.
Also, I would like for you to note that the originals of these gentlemen are sitting with you.
That's correct.
And there are quite a few of the ones of Mr. Jackson's friends who are running around. All coalesced and coagulated and all that.
Sorry about that.
They're
like
plugged in too. That's all right. We just don't mind a bit. They're going to get their thinking quite straight and remember what their journey here this time is for. So go on.
All right. Now, A4 is Norman Mailer. And I should qualify, Mr. Mailer and I have never gotten along together, and the reason for that is that in his former life, starting at whenever he joined the committee in 1977. When he came on in his existence, his former life as Adolf Hitler, up to Mr. Hitler's age of 28. So I thought you should be aware of that. A5, Warren Christopher, which you're aware of. A6, the committee. Now, I'm going to qualify who A6 is because the committee has a steadfast rule. When they cease to exist in our plane of reference, no one is permitted back. However, because Mr. Russell did not complete his job when he was in, he is back as far as we are concerned, on the committee, but in our plane of reference, it is Sir James Goldsmith.
And that is not Walter. That is not Walter. That is Bertrand.
That is Bertrand. Yes. Now, I think that what the commander can explain at a later time, when we have more time, why of the conflict between their rules of not having anyone back in this plane of reference until they finish what they have set out to do, why then they made an exception to that rule. Now, A7. This is a French name, and it's pronounced Jacques, J-A-C-Q-U-E-S, and the last name is Santer, S-A-N-T-E-R. He is currently the Prime Minister of Luxembourg. Number 8. This is a German name, spelling the first name, Hubertus, H-U-B-E-R-T-U-S. Middle name, Von, V-O-N. Last name, Gruenberg, G-R-U-E-N-B-E-R-G. He is currently the CEO of Continental Tire AG in Germany. A9, Juan Carlos. A10, Alberto Fujimori, F-U-J-I-M-O-R-I. He is the president of Peru. A11, Edward Chevernaze, S-H-E-V-A-R-D-N-A-D-Z-E, the president of Soviet Georgia. A12, John McFarlane. The last name is spelled M-C-F-A-R-L-A-N-E. Now, he is a banker in Hong Kong. However, this is your English connection on the banking to the committee. A13, Jean Chretien, C-H-R-E-T-I-E-N. He is currently the Prime Minister of Canada. A14, two names, and I'll spell each one. The first one, T-O-M-I-I-C-H-I. Last name, M-U-R-A-Y-A-M-A. He is the Prime Minister of the of Japan and a member of the Socialist Party. He is the new placement in Japan, and this was at the insistence of the committee. A15, Barbara Jordan. She is affiliated with the Lyndon Baines Johnson Law Center in Texas. A16, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Now, when I send in the current manuscript on the committee, which is Volume 2 of The Death of Camelot, you'll have a complete and total explanation of each member of the committee, with the exception of the last two, Barbara Jordan and Alexander Solzhenitsyn. They were put on after I came to prison, which was in December of 92. Now, are there any questions pertaining, or did you everybody get the list of the members?
Barbara Jordan, the only one who's ever been a lady on that committee?
You mean a female? Eleanor Roosevelt. From 1945 until 1962, and she was A3. But Barbara Jordan, not only is she a brilliant person in her own right, she was black, and that accomplished two items that the committee felt that they needed to address. although in her own right, she is certainly qualified to be on the group here. Now, I have told A5, I spoke to Mr. Christopher yesterday, my attorney, and my second attorney both got to speak to him, and John had lunch with him. And John's only comment when I spoke to him was, he's just a little shit. I'm sorry for using the language, but that was his response to me. And John is 6'7", and Warren Christopher is about 5'5", 5'5", and so that was his reaction. And then they also made a comment about my comment at the end of the list of the committee, which is on page 47 of this paper. And he asked me why I put that on there, and to be perfectly frank with you, I remember doing it, but I put both items on there when I originally made up these charts, and it says, we spend a lifetime building wealth and knowledge, and one morning we awake in the forest, and all we can see are illusions. And I really couldn't answer his question, but it just felt right when I put it in. And then on page number 48 and 49, I put in there, I see, I hear, I understand, and I believe. How do I know if my senses are being true to me? I thought that was unusual and really haven't given it any thought as to why I put them on there, but I can see why they were curious at the time. So that is the members of the committee. And I'm going to go ahead and have John release the manuscript of Book 2, since I've already said who they are, and I'm sure you're going to find them all very interesting. And that's all I've got to say. I just feel good about the turn of events, and things are really going to start picking up.
Yep. As we move along with today, I'm going to take a little bit different direction. As Ron, for instance, gets released and can take over a major part of that responsibility of that human element that's all coagulated into a human form and isn't. These beings, regardless of what you think they may be, or not human, not in the true sense of the divine meaning of human, our universal man. These have digressed into being humanoids, false humans, if you will, pseudo-humans, and we're going to get into that. I'm not being nasty to them. It is that you ones are going to have to change your perceptions, and the quizzical thoughts that run through the minds of ones like Ron Jackson as he writes something that really he cannot quite yet explain why he would write it or why it has such meaning is because of the misinformation, disinformation that floods over you from these humanoid energy forms. You don't know what is God, even though you are the integral part of the energy expression of God. God is not some woolly-haired being with flowing robes who sits off there somewhere. And in the humanness, there is no end, no beginning. There is, period, and there is no loss of the progression or the restructuring or the redevelopment into various and sundry serving slots for civilization to prepare souls if you will, energy forms for their progression into the civilization of the universe. I am not saying universal civilization. The two terms would be grossly different. There is a civilization of the universe of which no, well, we'll call it evil for anything better. I don't really recognize evil. I don't have to recognize evil. I recognize that it exists in your plane. You better recognize it, because until you get your set of guidelines and rules straight, you're going to continue to blow it. And you're going to continue to impede your own progress. Mostly, you just need to get out of your way and let things unfold. You need to keep pushing, but not the river. Action must take place, or there is no being. All you're doing is existing. And you must control existence. And yes, indeed, I can tell you how to do it. And we're going to talk about it in such a way today, and I want specifically to talk to Dr. Young about it. So where are we with Dr. Young?
Not here.
Well, I don't know how long I can wait. We may have to get into it. This meeting is very much for Dr. Young, and this meeting is very much for Mr. Einstein and Mr. Newton. And both those energy forms are listening to me. I will say right here that there is one on the committee that represents Newton. Would you care to share that with us, Jackson?
Yes, you're correct. However, I felt that that was his decision to say, but I am surprised that my friend Rick Martin hasn't brought it up yet.
Well, Rick Martin has a very short-term memory for names.
Well, he is actually A9. However, he is not pressing his presence as far as we are concerned. So I don't believe that he is going to be a force at this time.
Well, he's going to listen, and he's going to be a force.
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
I am not interested myself in any of these energy forms or their little labels. They are into the slots they're in for very, very physical human existence reasons. And they played some pretty rotten hardball games with society. That's okay, because that's what teachers are about. But for those erroneous or misperceptions that have been handed down, I would like to do a little bit of clearing for Isaac. Because this man really understood far better than his translations later indicated as far as gravity is concerned. Einstein is all screwed up as far as energy and matter are concerned. And relativity. It is not because they did not understand, nor is it because they did not express their lack of understanding. It is that theories went out and others latched onto it, putting these things into cement and making it pretty awkward for these gentlemen. You'll have to know, and this is for Jackson and this is for Isaac, that in the translation of the Principia Mathematica, errors were made in translation. And in mathematics, a very tiny error can amount to a great big error in universal knowledge. So we're not going to get into the error either. But I want to acknowledge to this room, and perhaps confirmation to a few of you who think I'm a big hot air balloon, that Voltaire had the Principia of Isaac Newton translated. And who translated it? His mistress, a countess, Chateau de Lay. So you're working on the basis of the mathematics of the universe on some mistress's interpretation of something she had absolutely zero knowledge about. Now don't you feel secure? So you have to understand that everything in your physical perception is absolutely nothing but energy illusion. So that wipes away all of, well, it wipes away all the subject of physical expression. But here you are, sitting here in whatever form you perceive yourself to be. Whatever your eyes perceive. Isn't that interesting? Because if you were blind, what would you perceive? You would sense the energy form or even the touch of that one next to you. But if you had never had sight, what would you really perceive? And why is it that the blind man can feel and therefore see? Well, these are the things you're going to have to understand, because you're going to have to begin to learn to control existence. And when that happens, religion's out the window. Now, I hear one happy face. Don't have to deal with that religious bunch of you-know-what anymore. Well, it's all entangled, so you do, in a way. You have to deal with all of that to its own end. Why would it be pushed forward? Obviously, a tool of the humanoid or the false human trying to get control of a physical existence. Well, I have news for you. Ones have been really, really upset with me when I said, I created you, I can uncreate you. Well, who are you then? Do you claim to be God Eton, or do you claim to be a flight commander, or, well, just let it suffice either one. I know how to control existence. You will learn to control existence, or you will be vanished. That term is probably better than uncreate. I don't care what you call it. When you move into the civilization of the universe, only those who understand that are going to go. The rest will be vanished. I did not say vanquished or extinguished. I said vanished. There are portions of the civilization of the universe in which ones grow. There are places in the civilization of the universe wherein ones have already grown and volunteer and come back and play these roles. So that the human experiencing and soul growing will have the necessary lessons to make his own progression. And I don't care what you did, ever, it got you to here, whatever you are. I care very much what you become, because that is your perceived future, not what you are experiencing here or tomorrow. Well, I perceive that tomorrow I will have a future. Fine. Let's make sure we create one. Or you won't. If you do not create a future, you will not have one. And if you are content to end everything now, that can be arranged also. But I don't think that's what the majority of the ones who really intend to have a future are going to do about it. Ron, you think, is going to come out of that place and keep his mouth shut? That is impossible. I mean, duct tape is really good, but it won't do that. He'll figure a way to talk. He doesn't hold anything against these guys. And neither do I. And maybe that's what ones want to call unconditional love. I really do like these guys. And when they see that it is to their advantage to get on this bandwagon rather than that other one headed for vanishing, they'll be right there to help you, including Mr. Christopher. They're right up against it. How much gold would you suggest, Ron, is available in Peru, of which 9/10 of it is mine?
Well, there were 13 million tons there.
Yeah, that we did.
Put another 2 million into the country.
Enough. Enough if we don't even have to tap the El Dorado. And yet you can't, in this physical world, go ahead and evolve to the point that you need to evolve for your transition or your survival or whatever you want to call it, without some monetary backup. That's the basis of your society. Therefore, if you're going to function within this society for a while longer, you're going to have what society uses to make it. And, of course, that's where the adversary will try to stop you. We will let you have it. Oh, yes, you're going to let us have it because we become the ticket to the survival of the other humanoids who would like to become human.
Ed Young just came in.
Dr. Young, I'm going to lay a real heavy trip on you, so we've been kind of dragging until you got here. I do want to repeat what I just said about John. If they come to the door to get John, I would like every man, and John sort of toward the back, to get up and go meet them. You must stop being afraid of these people, and yet you better play in their game by their rules. And when you stop having any fear of these people, they can't touch you. They might haul you off to jail, but Ron survived. And even had a few good times at it. We're going to deal in energy and mass. It goes beyond what we were given and what is light. Everything is light. Everything has a frequency. And everything will manifest or coalesce at given frequencies integrated with a DNA blueprint. So anytime we get to feeling really smug and smart about our egotistical beingness, we better just kind of wipe the smirk off our face and humbly appreciate the fact that you can be vanished. And you will do it yourself. And along those lines, let's talk about Jupiter. They detonated a magnificent neutron device on Jupiter. I told you they would. I've warned you. Now you've been warned by two or three other sources, and the backwash of that pulse wave should be hitting you anytime today through the next 3 days. Now, the first ones have already hit you. There has been a massive increase in photon, as you would call it, because I like to use the term because Colonel Greitz hates it. My photon belt. Good grief. You're in it. What you don't want is that light blast that ignites your radiation belt, because for 3 days you're going to be blind as a bat. Well, bats aren't blind, so that's a bad, you know. You better start thinking very carefully again about your goggles. I had asked EJ to bring in the goggles from the car, I'm telling you, get home. When you get home today, you ones, you get those goggles and you get them close to you. You have weapons on your place that can blind an entire army by just shining it on you. They can be focused to the point where a man landing an aircraft can be blinded and confused and crash that aircraft, and it is happening every day around your globe. So don't sit there and say, Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. How silly. A photon belt and 3 days of light or 3 days of darkness. You're all in the dark. And the 3 days of light ain't going to be good for you. And you're already experiencing those bombarding high frequency beyond the ultraviolet rays. They are constantly telling you, get a higher rating on your children's suntan lotion. Skin cancer. Look around you and listen. In some places, the animals in the fields are going blind from these rays.
I've got chickens that have gone blind. Two or three. I've never seen it before.
It's frightening. And I don't know where you're going to get chicken glasses. It is really, really serious. And can you imagine a civilization? And you see what they will do. They are ready, willing, and able to sacrifice the Northern Hemisphere. Remember Australia and the underground, and over a year ago, in January, year and a half ago, approximately, they moved the last of the workers out of those facilities. They had already sealed off and replanted the jungle overgrowth. And there show no roads, no landing strips. The only way you can get in there is by helicopter or hovercraft, of which you have both. There are these facilities in New Zealand also. These are the luxurious facilities that will allow for the devastation of the entire Northern Hemisphere, if it comes to that. At which point, the detonations of whatever devices that will be used will be air bursts, so that when they come back, quote, to reclaim their kingdom, they got all their stuff, but they don't have to feed you. There is going to be depopulation. There just flat is going to be. And you see it taking its ungodly toll in those poor Rwandan refugees. It's going to be worse. These rays will destroy your immune system. And a little cholera over there is going to be worse over here, as a for instance. It'll be something. It will not be cholera, which can be cured. You just can't cure it over there. Now, as far as Mr. Christopher, and I would like him to listen to this very carefully, the rest of you better understand that Haiti's not his big one. Japan is not his big one. Korea is not his big one. He sat with Assad of Syria day before yesterday, and that is a big one. Mr. Assad is a big one. And you can look at those two, and you know they ain't from here. So the next question that Dorma asks continually is, who the hell are you? Well, sweetheart, let's just say that I'm the wind beneath your wings. I'm going to teach you to fly. I am no greater, but certainly no lesser than you, of my team. And it may take a little sorting around to figure out their positions. But I want to tell you something about the Warren Christophers of the world. They are brilliant. And they will see that it behooves them to fulfill whatever small agreements they have made with me, that our people can go on. They can have all the rest. You see, because in the physical plane, after I have had what I need, and this is why Mr. Jackson, he was nice enough not to say, you know, what have you done to me, sir? I haven't done anything to him. This is his agreement. And as you march through your perceived time, at whatever time awareness strikes, that one becomes the head honcho. And for all practical purposes, Mr. Jackson, who may be well classified as a 17, is actually a 1, because he has now the power and the control. And this is a game of power and control. Will, what is it? Will success ruin Rock Hunter? Will success and power ruin Ron Jackson? Oh, I don't think so. He's having too much fun. You have to understand, it's a game. And once you understand that it's a game, you may as well have some fun at it. There are a lot of pawns, and you ones, oh, in your religious fervor, let us gather up them all and save them. You are not going to save anything. And unless you get some insight, you're not even going to save yourself. You're going to be waiting for some stupid rapture and somebody to flap down and get you. I did not even say I was going to come down and get you. I said I am the wind beneath your wings. You're going to fly on your own, or you ain't going to fly. Everybody with me so far? EJ, read today. I want you, Ed, please, to listen very carefully. And John, I want you, please, to listen very, very carefully. Don't try to figure it out. Just stay with us, son.
Commander?
Yes.
Just make a very, very brief comment before EJ starts reading. As I was driving in, I noticed the position of your ship.
Yes, thank you.
It is so prominent you can almost read the license plate on it.
Yes, sir.
And the location of it is extremely important, because I can see it sitting at my dining room table where I eat lunch every day, and yet where you have it positioned over here, you can watch the entire Tehachapi Valley.
Yes, sir. I needed that today. You needed that today. Thank you. We already had one come and go. I hope all of you saw it as we were gathering. And you will note that save one or two other ships on the periphery, there is nothing else in the sky.
That's right.
We're getting close to some real visible games, kids. So let's just hang tight. The reason I'm handling it this way is I need to branch out and turn some of these things over. On the other hand, I'm not going to leave one stranded. And ones will say, well, why don't you just show up, big boy, and there won't be any question. That is not the name of this game. You're either going to learn the way it is, or you haven't learned enough at all. Dorma does not have to understand this. She only has to be true to me in her transcription. And if she cannot understand what I'm trying to express, then you scientists are going to have to pay attention and go within and ask me so that you will understand. I'm putting it onto tape because the tapes go out. And I believe that even with ones like the committee members, when they see the real game, they'll just get rid of this other one. You see, their real adversary, if you will, the game they're playing, the ones they're playing against, are the basic anti-civilizationists. That's the best word we've come up with. They're not even anti-human exactly, or anti-Christ. I don't like that term, you see. They are anti-civilization. And you've got these committees. And you see, the bigger committee is not necessarily the stronger committee. And the smaller committee seems to have more function in this hemisphere. Well, there's a reason for that, too. So I would ask that you just rip right through today, and let's see. The rest of you are going to have to be patient. I've got to have it onto this tape. There are plenty of ones out there waiting for this information. If you need to leave for any reason, Ron, just alert us and we'll turn you loose.